Amen. God is a great God. And I keep saying this every week because in my mind, I have this idea. I'm only going to preach for 15 minutes and then we're going to go 15 minutes of just going back into worship. So get ready, worship. And that's what I think. And then I get into the Word and it's like, it doesn't happen. But at least you know it's my intention. But I was also thinking that we have to develop an appetite for hearing the Word. You know, I remember a couple of weeks ago, apologizing, I went over, and if I'm bored and whatever, just tell one of the leaders and they'll tell me, right? And, but we have to develop an appetite to hear God and respond to God. And if that takes us some time over, won't we miss a cup of tea and two sugars and a drop of milk? Do you know, like, if God is not in it, we'd find out pretty enough, but we're vocal enough to say. Well, God is in it, and then... And I'm not saying that to have a long-winded sermon. I said all that because this is going to take 4 hours. But I'm not saying that for that reason. I'm saying it just so that we want to develop something in this place. And if I don't want to be a church, there's some churches doing sermons for 10 minutes because of the clock. Honestly, some people that have it, and I'm not running down anyone, I just want this to be a church that honors the Word of the Lord. I remember one time, I hope you remember Elton Bray, his pastor says, we'd love Eddie to share his testimony in the garden seat. I don't know, it's lovely in the middle of the garden seat, I wanted to do something. And he says, we give him 5 minutes. He says, I'm going to sit. And he wouldn't insult God, would give him 5 minutes of his testimony. Okay, that wouldn't even get me on happy 5 minutes. Like, what were we doing? We were honoring the work that God has done in his life. I was like, Pastor, do you think that's going to... You know, I understand if God gives you something, you need to be quick and sharp, but at the same time, we need to hear what God is doing in people's life, because God is bigger than you think. Our God, this is the title of my message. How big is your Jesus? How big is my Jesus? How big is Jesus? So, you know, they have pictures in places and you see Jesus and he's sitting there with a lamb. And that's cool because that is part of Jesus' character. And, you know, obviously someone from the West because he's wavy hair and blue eyes and he's a good looker. You know what I mean? And the Bible says that Jesus wasn't much to look at. So somewhere I'm missing out on something. And but they have him and they have him then with little children. He's in a serene blue outfit and all that. And you're like, yeah, Jesus is serene and Jesus is calm and Jesus is loving and Jesus is good. You didn't go to the man that had a demon in him and go, excuse me, just leave that chap alone. Just get out. Now. Left. I want to take the next 14 minutes to just bring us back into a place of how big is your Jesus bigger than a cross around your neck? Is your Jesus bigger than the last book you read? Is it your Jesus bigger than the last song you read? Is your Jesus big enough to get you out of trouble? Is your Jesus big enough to kick down walls and to climb mountains and to light up every shadow? Is your Jesus that big? Or have we somehow played him down? And I'm telling you from the beginning, I'm driving in. And I've been preaching this to myself for the last 2 or 3 days. Like when I'm driving along, I'm like, and I find myself, Father, forgive me for minimizing Jesus. For allowing circumstance to make him small. Forgive me, because there has to be an element of repentance, which means I want to change the way I think about Jesus. And I make a decision. Is Jesus just some get out of jail card for you? He's bigger than that. He's more than that. The size of your God will determine the outcome of our life. The size of our God will determine how we live. The size of our God will determine the size of our prayers, the size of our dreams. The size of our God will decide the level of faith that we're going to move in and exploits we're going to do and endeavors that we're going to come up with. The size of our God will determine the size of our trust in God. It will determine the size of opportunities. It will determine the size of outcomes of battles. The size of our God will determine the reality of how we look at life, opposition, challenges, vision, strongholds, oppression, ministry, church, money, problems, heaven, hell, sin, the devil. It will determine all that stuff. We've been going through the Gospel of Mark. And it's just like the never-ending story, the Gospel of Mark. We're in it forever. But it's brilliant. But if you just give me a few moments, I'll go through the headlines. This is Jesus in the Gospels. This Jesus heals and forgives a paralyzed man. Jesus casts out a devil. Jesus causes the crowd to follow him. Jesus appoints the 12. Jesus is accused of healing on the Sabbath. Listen, Jesus is in a storm and he speaks to the storm. Jesus goes over to the demon-possessed man and he casts the devil out of him. Jesus feeds the people that had no food. Jesus caused the lame to walk. Jesus caused the blind eyes to see. Jesus healed the leper. All the things that Jesus done in the Gospel of Mark is like, and he's bigger than that. All the things that we see him, he's bigger. And how we see him is what will determine how we will look to him and pray to him and believe him and walk with him and talk about him. Because if someone presents themselves to you as a hopeless case, what are we going to offer them? Some pop psychology? Or are we going to offer them Jesus? If your Jesus is small, you'll give them this world. You'll give them what this world has to offer. And I don't know about you, but I know people long enough. 29 years walking with Jesus, 29 years in leadership, 29 years walking with people, 29 years trying to consistently choose every day to lay down my life. Not always successful, but that's what I want to do. That's what I try to do in my life. To give people the Jesus that we are told about in the Bible. But if I play him down, and I know people, long enough now. We didn't come to Jesus because he was our first part to call. And we try this to fill the need. We try that to get significance. We try that to get security. And it all falls. And then someone tells us about Jesus. And then it all comes. I don't know about you, but did you ever wish you found him first? Instead of going through all the stuff? Instead of trying all the other avenues that ran into dead ends eventually? They look good at the beginning, but because they're not, they can't do it. They didn't make it. He didn't need you to get on your mother's womb. He didn't, they're not the things of this world didn't say, I have a plan and a purpose for your life. He didn't say before the foundations of the earth I called you. But he did. And the Jesus that we have will determine who we offer. But I want to show you some things in the Bible that there's gonna be some things on the screen. And in the Bible, would you believe that there's something like 6,000 or 8,000 different names for God in the Old Testament? So what does a name reveal? A name reveals the character of somebody. So if someone says to you, do you know Noel Kenny? Immediately you'll go, Bogey? No, you won't think that immediately, but that's the choice you have. It's like, you know what? He's a good person. Or whatever will come, the characteristics of that person will come out when someone's name is mentioned. Someone's name is mentioned, yeah, fella. You know what he's saying? That there's something around that person. And the names of God in the Old Testament reveal some of his character that he wants to express to the world. That some of the names are like Elohim, Jehovah, Yahweh, Adonai. And they all mean something in the language. And they're said so many times you couldn't believe it. And I found this like list of names of the names of God in the Old Testament. All that he is to you and me, right? And I can't go through them because it's really exhaustive. But listen to some. It says that he's the exalted God. He's the most high God, the highest God, high and lofty God, the glorious God, the King of glory, the Father of glory. Is it coming in? No? Okay. That was coming up there. He's almighty God. He's the Lord of hosts. He's the army. He's the Lord of the army. He's a mighty warrior. He's a great and awesome God. He's the eternal God, the great I am. He's the one who inhabits eternity, the ancient of days. He's the first and the last. He's the God, the creator, the architect, the builder of all things, the builder of Jerusalem, faithful creator, the maker of all things. I'm going through like this is a list of hundreds. He's righteous. He's a holy father. He's a just God. He's a judge. He's a lawgiver. He's a protector. He's a defender of widows. He's a defender of the orphans. He's the God who sanctifies. He's the God of all gods. He's the King of all kings. He's the King of heaven. He's the King of nations. He's the King over everything that has been made. He's the Lord of heaven and earth. He's a king. I said that. He's a prince. He's a ruler of all. He's sovereign. He's
and knows everything. He's a protector. He's a fortress. He's a hiding place. He's a high tower. He's your song. He's your strength. He's your rock. He's your shade, your shelter, your shield, your strong tower. He's your provider. He's your cup. He's the everlasting light. He's your help, your strengthener. He is your portion. He is your shepherd. He is your spring of living water. He is your father. He is Abba. He is your father. He's the father of lights, father of compassion, father of glory, the father of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's your heavenly father. He's your redeemer. He's your God of peace. He's your savior. He's your salvation. He's your prince of peace. He's your kinsman redeemer. He's the savior of all men. Hello. All of this is God's name from the Old Testament. All of this is God. And listen to what he says. This is now the New Testament. So Jesus comes. Jesus was fully God. And listen to what Colossians 2 says. That for in Jesus, the fullness of deity, meaning the fullness of the Godhead, dwells in him bodily, expressing completely the divine essence of God. So God in the Old Testament has all of these names that he's expressing himself. And then he says, I put them all into this Jesus. How big is your Jesus? How big is he? How big is he? When I've read out all them names of God, he says that, like, here's what Jesus says, that me and the Father are one. That whatever he is, I am. Hello. Whatever he is, I am. How big is their Jesus? Is he the Jesus that will walk on water, that will calm a storm, that will provide food for you? Is he the Jesus that will look after widows and orphans? Is he the Jesus that will stand up and fight for you? Is he the Jesus that will say, no, your right standing before God is because you're in me? Is that your Jesus? How big is our Jesus? Jesus says at the end of when he was, before he got taken into heaven, he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. This is this Jesus. The Bible says, Jesus says this himself. He says that if you ask anything in my name, it shall be given. Why? Because the Father, the Bible says, gave him the name that's above all names. Jesus. How big is your Jesus? He walks in and there was a man that was tormented forever with demons. And this Jesus walks in and he says to the demons, you're leaving him now. How big is your Jesus? There was people that had no food, 5,000 plus people. And he took 5 loaves and 2 fishes and broke open the bread and gave thanks. And all of them were fed. How big is your Jesus? He's your provider. He's your strengthener. He's your protector. The fullness of God dwells in him bodily. That everything that you and I need is found in Jesus. He's your Jesus, the Jesus that can do all things. Is your Jesus the one that can heal the sick? Is your Jesus is the one that can solve your problems? Is your Jesus the one that can give you peace in the midst of chaos? Is your Jesus the one that can raise the dead? Listen to what Romans says. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Jesus. Neither height nor depth, neither angel nor demon, neither death nor life. Why? Because he's overcome all of them things. Is your Jesus confined to space? Is your Jesus confined to theology? Is your Jesus confined to your experience? He's bigger than it all. Can your Jesus walk through walls? Because Jesus in the Bible can't. Can your Jesus open blind eyes? Can your Jesus take a king's heart and turn it around? Jesus in the Bible can't. Can your Jesus take a nation and win it over to himself in one day? He can. So Jesus. I'm like, Lord, I played you down. I only know how big my Jesus is when problems come or situations come. And then I either make the situation bigger and Jesus smaller, or I magnify Jesus and make the situation smaller. David knew this. King David in the Bible. When he was a kid, he wrote a load of songs in the Psalms you're reading. They're all about God. He comes and this Goliath, this knife of heavy joint comes out from the Philistine army. He goes up and his brothers are there and they were saying how big this joint was. And he'd come out every day and he'd say, give me a man to fight with. All of the Israel, all the army of Israel, terrified, dismayed, why they made
bigger than your God. He looked at him. Look at this sword. This sword is nearly the height of me. I'd be like breakfast to him over the there. They trembled, it says. They were full of dismay and terror because they seen the giant bigger than their gods. And David comes up, little fella, gets sent up on a message from with messages with shopping, with food for his brothers. He comes up and he hears the giant comes out and he's like, "Who's your man? Who's this? What's going on here?" And Eliab, his brother, you go home. See, Eliab, his brother, was one of the army. And what Eliab was doing, he was looking at his own size and looking at Goliath's size.
He's like, "I feel that size compared to the giant."
David walks in. He says, "I'll take him on." Because David wasn't measuring him against himself. He was measuring him against his God. He wasn't looking at him and the size of him, the giant. He was looking at the size of his God. That's why he says, "I don't come against you with sword and javelin. I come against you in the name of God. I'm not here to take you on. I'm only a little fella. But there's a big God that lives inside of me. There's the God that created the universe. There's the God that spun the stars into space, that painted the galaxies. He lives in us when you become a believer." And when the Bible says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, he raises up a standard. What does that mean? He raises up his banner. Not one of his names is that the Lord is your banner, Jehovah Nissi. He's your banner. Banner was used when people would go out into battle and they would see the standard, the flag, the bear, the flag thing that they'd have. And they'd look at, there's their army, and they'd be encouraged. And they'd also go, this is who we belong to, because the banner told them who they belonged to and whose army they were and who was their king. And they were able to go into battle. And David comes in and the enemy stands up like a giant and God raises up a standard. David, here, imagine God over with a big flag. What we face. Listen to what David says. This is where we're going to land it. I'm just going to finish. How do we land it? How do we land it in our lives today? How do we land it in our situations this week? How does the God of salvation land in our lives? We ask him to land. We ask that the God who sent the Son to die on the cross for our sins, that we go, "Jesus, I believe you're my Savior. I believe you died on the cross, that you already paid the penalty for my sin. Every sin in the past and every sin that is present and every sin in the future, you already paid the price. I believe you paid the price for my sin. I ask you to cleanse me of all of my sin and bring me into your family." That's how it happens. How does God land in a storm? How does God land in sickness? How does God land when, how does this land about how big our God is when our country is in turmoil? Whatever your situation is or you're going to face, what do you do? How do we know what to do? We hear all this stuff about God and I read out all of that things and you could look it up yourself on Google. That's where I found a list of the names of God in the Old Testament. And you can find them all yourself, and every one of them that he is that to you in Jesus. In Jesus, not because we go to a church. Going to a church just puts you in a group of people. And it doesn't make you any more in Jesus than going to McDonald's makes you part of Ronald's family. You ask him to be part. "Can I be part of you, Jesus? Will you come into my life?" And this God that everything hinges on in the whole universe, this God says he comes and lives inside of us by the power of his Holy Spirit. So what do we do? David gave us a clue. So this David faced so many problems. David faced giants. Who's facing giants? David crippled himself and his family with sin. Murdered a man.
I'm going to ask for the hand of murder anyone this week.
We've sinned. David was called to be a king. And yet the king that was on the throne chased him down like a rat. That like desert rat. Someone that had a dream where he was being chased down to be killed, and his dream to be killed in it. His purpose to be destroyed. He faced along the way hunger. He faced along the way battles. He faced along the way living in caves. He knew what it was to face stuff that we face every day. But what was his idea? How did he come along and see God in the midst of his failure? Listen to what he says in Psalm 34. He says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me." He says, "Come and magnify the Lord." And you'll read this all throughout the Psalms. Another translation will say, "Let's exalt the Lord together." And David's saying, "Come on, I've shown you the way through this. I'm showing you the way through your situation. Come and magnify the Lord with me." What was he saying? Come on, we big God up into who he is. Come on, we take God. We're not going to take the giant and big him up. We're not going to take cancer and big that up. We're not going to take HIV/AIDS and big that up. We're not going to take the mortgage and big that up. We're not going to take the lack of employment and big that up. We're going to big God up. Because he's the God that can meet the needs. He's the God that can heal. He's the God that can set free. He's the God that can walk through a wall. I remember I was praying for somebody. And I was like, "Lord, how are you going to reach them?" And then I read a testimony of a Muslim guy who was in Far East or Middle East. And he said Jesus walked through the wall and showed him his nail scarred hands. That's in the Bible. So when I'm praying, I wasn't limiting Jesus to someone just coming to church. I was magnifying him. "Lord, you can just walk into that prison cell. You can say, 'Hello, it's me. I'm Jesus. You want to be free? Come magnify the Lord.' So he's not magnifying the Lord. You'll never be able to go out there, Lord. You're locked away. They don't have anything to do with you. That's not magnifying the Lord. That's magnifying the problem. We're magnifying the solution. Because, Lord, I read in the Bible that you're the God that's everywhere. You're omnipresent. You're everywhere, Jesus, and you bring it down and land on earth by walking through walls and showing people who you are. You're in a storm. What do we magnify the storm? If we're being real and being honest, the biggest temptation is to magnify the storm. But what God is trying to show us and shift us is look at Jesus. That's why the author of Hebrews says, fix your eyes on Jesus. He's the author and perfecter of your faith. He's like, don't fix your eyes on me. Don't ever fix your eyes on me, I'm telling you. And you don't. I would let you down. I'm miserable. I'm telling you, he's amazing. He's amazing. A man will let us down. Of course he will. When man lets us down, it's a reminder that we weren't supposed to go to man, we were supposed to go to Jesus. That's what it was. And you go to him, and Jesus says, if anyone comes in, no way will it pass to me. I don't blow it in a smoldering way. It was real, I won't pray. Listen to where this goes on in Psalm 34. He says, come and magnify. You need to magnify the Lord. Do you? You do. Well, now you do, because we're young. What area of your life do you need to make a bigger move? Not big them up and go, let's just make up a God, like build a bear, build a doll, build a God. I'm not talking about that lark. I'm talking about the God that he really is. And whatever you think he is, he's more. Whatever you can find in the Word, it's like, here's what Ephesians says, that like when he rose from the dead, that the universe is full with the knowledge of who Jesus is. Full with the knowledge. He's bigger than the universe. He's bigger than, some people put their life in the hands of a universe. Some people put their hands in the life of stars and horoscopes. And here's the God of the universe reaching out to us saying, come to me. All who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, and I'll give you my yoke, which is peaceful. I'm like, hello. And my friend told me about Jesus. This is what all of translated into. God is interested in living. That was my exact thing. It's interesting. Look, me hiding in a hole and in the glass. All dreams, every dream I have is shattered, gone. I reached out to you. I thought I reached out to you. You the religion have to go. You have to try and say things. Therefore, please say. He came for us. He came for us. He came for you. Where do you need the Bible? Let's stand. I nearly got through there. It's only 20 past. I'm not trying to rush my message. The Lord says to me, just get your point across, son. Don't go into sermon mode and try to just tell the people. I'm brilliant and I'm magnificent and I'm radiant.
And I stand out in my own brilliance. And yes, I come to you to say I love you. He's not mad at you. He's madly in love with you. He's not mad at you. His son paid for that sin. Give it to him. He's able to do anything. Listen to what he said. With man, things are impossible. God all things are possible. Where do you need to magnify? Could the worship team come back? Just let that joy draw one more time. Let that thing that you've been praying for, just let it come out. Like Goliath came out, that was the thing. And there, giants, situations, their lacks, they all come out in all that. Do you know what they even say sometimes? Where's your God? Don't they? You're going to have to start getting jiggy with it. You're going to have to, I'm going to show you who my God is. He's the God of the universe. He's the God, not of the universe, the God who created the universe. He's the God of Jesus, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul. He's the God who turned water into wine. He's the God who turned fish and loaves into a feast. He's the God who is exalted above every other name. He's the God who can do anything. He's the God who wants me. You have to start bigging her up. You have to start, come on, let's start opening their mouths. And like, don't big them up in your own mind. It's not your own mind, yet your own mind needs to know, but so does your situation. That's why Jesus says you can speak to this mountain. He didn't say think about the mountain. He didn't say, you know, pray to yourself about the mountain. He says, you can speak to this mountain. And you can say to this mountain, my faith is in the God who created you. Be removed. That's powerful. But it's only powerful if you activate it. It's only information because you're being told. But the activation is when you do it. How big is your Jesus? Just ask a question. It's okay. It's okay to go, gosh, we have Jesus really small. He's breaking out of the box. He's breaking out of the religious constraints. He's breaking out. He's like bigger than the universe. He's bigger than the universe. He's bigger than anything you see. He's bigger than the government. He's bigger than nuclear wars. He's bigger than famines. He's bigger than death. He put death in the grave. That's how big Jesus is. Death, you're defeated. Where is your sting? You're gone no more. You're just now become a thoroughfare to heaven. What are you afraid of? Confess your fears. Don't hide them. Jesus, I'm afraid to die. Okay, no. Let me tell you about death. I overcame death, son. You know there's an eternity for you. Do you know that you're going to live forever? You're going to know my presence forever. You're going to know what it is to see a new heaven and a new earth. You know what it is to going to rule and reign. You know what it's going to be before my throne, to cast down your crowns, to say, holy is the Lamb of God, worthy of the Lamb of God. What am I doing when he says that? I'm bigging up him. I'm bigging up the truth, and I'm playing down the lie that death is the final thing. It is not the final thing. When I see sickness, he's bigger than sickness. He's bigger than sickness. If you're sick in body, just start bigging up Jesus the healer. That Jesus, you can heal any sickness. You knitted me together, my mother's. He can restore marriages. He can restore broken bodies. He can restore a broken world. Why? Because he's bigger. How big are their prayers? Mary and Martha send word to Jesus. Our brother Lazarus is dead. Jesus comes down, what, 3 or 4 days later? He's been in the tomb. Jesus, if you would have only come. And I tell you to believe, I am the resurrection and the life. Hey, Lazarus, come out of there. He's bigger than death. Everything that looks like a death situation, your Jesus is bigger. My Jesus is bigger. Just start lifting up his name. Just start lifting up his name. Guys, you can see. Start lifting up his name. Jesus, show me that you're bigger. Ask him for revelation of his bigness. Show me that you're bigger, Lord. I don't want information. I don't want just information. I need revelation so that there can be activation of faith. Come on, ask him. Jesus, show me where you are. You are behind Goliath for David. You are in the midst of the storm, walking on the stormy waters for the disciples. Lord, this is, show me where you are in this. He loves us. He loves us. If you don't know anything else to say, just reverently and holy, just say the name of Jesus. You don't have to have big fancy prayers. His name is the name that's above every name. Introduce sickness to Jesus today. Hello. Introduce sickness to Jesus. Introduce your joint. Can I show you who is my Savior? It's Jesus. To your unanswered prayer, can I introduce my unanswered prayer to Jesus? Can I introduce my city to Jesus, my nation to Jesus, my government, Jesus? This is Dublin, this is Jesus.